from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Hey, fantasy football owners. Anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, fan Twitter, brought to you by South Hills Kia. Peter Townsend, visit them, southhillskia.net. Fan text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, personal injury law firm, where they always say, there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Bob, we were talking a little bit about the Steeler game Friday night. And you mentioned something that's kind of interesting, that you have to leave and run out of here. To go and meet with people to discuss how you can explain the new kickoff rules
in short amount of time.
In a short amount of time.
You really can't. Because it is, very, you know, Danny Smith has been on this job for a long time. He's 71 years old now. Aliquippa, Pennsylvania, you know, Danny Smith. Been around, and he still chews gum better than anybody. Next right. to Clint Hurdle, maybe. Anyway, you know, when you overhaul a kicking game the way they've done it in the NFL, which is taking a page out of that XFL league from a few years ago, there are too many things. It's really going to be interesting to see how it works out, because kickers kick from the same position, Paul, that they always have. Okay. However, the kicking team coverage, they will line up 25 yards ahead of where the kicker is. Okay. So they'll be at the 40-yard line of the opposing team.
Okay.
Then you have the, quote, setup zone for the receiving team. All right? So, coverage team lines up 25 yards ahead of the kicker, as I said, at the opponent's 40. At the 35-yard line will be the receiving team's players. and they can't move. Nobody can move, from what I understand, until the ball is kicked and either is fielded by a person or hits the ground. If a kicking team blasts it through the end zone, okay, like we've seen a lot, and they still can do that, a touchback will put the ball now at the 30 rather than the 25-yard line. So you can choose that strategy not even to engage in this. But you also are going to have a situation where you could bring into play different things that I'm sure coaches really think about. You know, squib kicks, anything about having, you know, to increase the options of getting the ball or making or kicking away from someone like Patterson, who the Steelers have brought in here. But again, the key is you have a landing zone, you have a setup zone, and if the ball is in the landing zone, it must be returned. You cannot, you know, like for example, last year they had a fair catch call potentially. Right. You can't do that.
Okay,
I'm going to be interested to see how all the you're going to have a lot of penalties. I guarantee you, especially in preseason games. you'll see a lot of penalties.
Well, I was also trying to I was trying to read about it in the break. Okay, so you essentially, if you kick the ball and it doesn't get to the 20-yard line, the other team gets it at the 40.
40, yeah, that's another part of this.
So basically, if you're going to try and kick it high and short, you better make sure it gets inside the 20.
It has to get in. That's the, quote, landing zone.
Right.
Yeah.
So if it gets inside the 20, then they have to return it. If it goes in the end zone. See, to me, if you really want to discourage touchbacks, what you would make the rule is anything outside of the landing zone is you start at the 40. But the touchback is only at the 30, which is only five more yards from last year. Yeah. I mean, to me, I think
And I still think you're seeing teams do that. Just blast out of the end zone and say,
prediction.
Okay, take it at the 30.
That's my prediction, Bob. My prediction is that at some point, some team's analytics squad will figure out that it's more beneficial. Just kick the ball out of the end zone. Give it to them on the 30 instead of, okay, it's not the 25. We're talking about five more yards.
But
over the long haul, that's better than kicking it inside the 20 and letting them return it.
However, that puts an emphasis on the kicker to make sure you do that. Some can. And if it is in that landing zone and return, you're going to have a very interesting thing. Again, players cannot move. You're so used to seeing players run as soon as the ball is kicked and start down the field and there's wedges being formed, all that snow. So now you have to maintain where you are until it's either fielded or hits the ground, and then you can engage.
Right.
So I'm going to see what some of these returns look like. They say they will increase opportunities for returns. I hope so, if that's the intent, because we haven't seen a lot of them.
I don't know. I have to see it. But it feels to me like if you catch the ball on the 10-yard line, 10, 12-yard line, you're probably going to get to the 30 anyway.
The other team's at the 40.
Right.
Without a running start.
Right.
So
It just is, you know what I mean? Like, the other thing is,
you should be able to get it to the 30.
The other thing is, isn't there going to be, I feel like it's going to be, they're going to figure out the kicking it. I know what, the other thing is, you've taken the surprise onside kick out of the game.
Well, now you have to, because of the way this is formulated.
Right.
You have to inform the other team that you're going to do it. So there is no surprise. But then again, how can there be when you're lining up 20, 40, 25 yards ahead of where the kicker is? You can't engage that. I'm not sure what that means exactly still, and that's what we're going to find out. Because the NFL is going to have a meeting, and we're going to go through it just to see, because there are too many unanswered questions.
Right. Because to me, like, the surprise onside, the onside kick has
And you can never do it until it's the fourth quarter. So you remove everything there.
Right.
The Bill Cowher call in the Super Bowl when they were taking on Dallas to start the second half, an onside kick to start the half. I think it's a beautiful call and it worked. But you'll never see that again.
Right. I mean, I would say this. It's important to remember that. The surprise onside will not be a factor anymore. And you have to declare the onside kick, right? So here's my thing. If you declare we're going to do the onside kick, you can't even do the thing where you try and, like, pop it up over the line and run to it, right?
Yeah,
I'm assuming you actually have to just try an onside kick. Because sometimes, teams would try and line up in the onside kick.
Yeah, you can't do it with that formation
right.
at all. So you're going to have to, adjust. Sort of a hybrid kickoff rule that can move, or I don't know. We're going to see it. I just hope that it doesn't become a major disturbance to a game, because you're going to see people do penalties, slow down the game kind of stuff, because people have to find out what it's like and what you can and cannot do.
Yeah. I understand that. I just, I'm not sure I understand why they needed to do this.
Well,
seriously. You could create more kickoff returns if you just do it the old way and say if you kick it out of bounds or it's a touchback, the other team gets it on the.
You could really penalize them and say, okay, 40-yard line. Yeah, you're almost going to get in field goal range, so that's your penalty for doing it. So keep the ball in play,
or even 45-yard line. Make it so it's a legitimate, you know what I mean? If you kick it out of bounds or you kick it to into the end zone, guess what?
Yep.
The other team gets it on the 45. I guess what I'm saying is that would also create a situation where there's a bunch of different ways you could kick it off. Here, there's only one way you can kick it off. But, like, if you did it that way, right,
mm-hmm.
you could say surprise onside kicks. You could do those little pooch kicks, squib kicks, whatever. There's a lot of different ways you can do. You've taken all of that out of the game completely.
Yeah, I guess. And that's what I want to see it actually happen, when it plays out, what it looks like, and how players and coaches are going to react to it. But there's a lot to explain and a lot to, you know, and most of the viewers who will watch on Friday are not going to be ready for it. They're not going to, you know, research it as well as they should probably, but they'll get a crash course on it right off the bat.
Right. I mean, that's what I would tell you. I think it's going to be very, very interesting to see what it looks like. What does it look like? Because it just is always interesting to me when you take options away from another team, from a team, which you've done that. Regardless of what you think about the rule, the one thing that you can't deny is that it's taken away a lot of options from the kicking team.
Well, you can only use an onside kick if you trail, and you know, and you have to announce the intention that you're using.
Exactly.
It. So therefore, there goes a surprise element. Then it's just about if you get lucky enough to get it.
And I think the other part of it is, like, onside kicks were what, like 6%? Not even. Like, they were like, what?
Yeah, they're no small
percentage. The other team knew that it was coming, I forget. Can you look that up, City Limits? What percentage of onside kicks that were recovered by the kicking team when the other team knew it was coming? I mean, go ahead.
5.6%.
Yeah, 5%.
Yeah, it's not good.
Does that include all of them, or is that just when the other team knew?
That's all of them. It was 13.5% before 2018, so it's significantly dropped
since. My point is, that number is going to be about 2% now. Because at least when I lined up an onside kick formation, I didn't have to onside kick it. But it sounds like because of this new rule, if I line up in that formation, I have to onside kick it.
Yeah. Again, there's going to be no surprise. It's coming. We're going to declare that we're doing it.
And that to me, I would say is, it's always, you know, important to note that, to me, is going to be what the problem is with all of this, for sure. No question.
I mean,
you've taken that as a weapon out.
I'm telling you, I would just kick it in the end zone every time and not even give anyone a chance. Just come out to the 30. What's the difference? It's 5 yards. Your defense should be able to handle it.
Right. I mean, that's the big thing to me. It's always so important to note, okay, that you really, 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 in so many ways, you really basically have taken onside kicks out of the game. You've taken the option to
do it. That percentage will go far down, knowing that it's coming. You can. Of course, you would know that anyway if you trail. Most of the time, people are going to onside kick. Some don't. But in this case, you have to let them know. So it's coming.
Right. Right. That's the big thing.
Yeah, I don't like the fact that you can't use it in, you know, you can, based on the formation. If you wanted a surprise onside kick on the first play of the game, just because.
Right.
You can't do it.
That's the big. That's all I say.
That's kind of a risk reward thing that I like.
Yes.
You know, I want a little element of surprise or something you got to watch, just because it gives your kicking team another thing to worry about.
No. Yeah. I mean, I would agree with that. I think that's probably the most significant thing that we will watch in terms of rule changes. Right. I mean, this year is that's pretty much the one that everyone's going to watch to see how it fundamentally changes the game.
Yeah.
You know.
And it will do that. It may be a net positive for the league. I think they believe it can be and will be, and there could be returns. And the Steelers have done a pretty good job bringing in special teams experts like Cordarrelle Patterson and Tyler Matakavich. They brought those guys in for, you know, basically for the special teams aspect of their game. So, you know, although I don't think Patterson's going to play, he's been missing a lot of time out there, and he is 33, so they don't need to play him in any of these games. But I'm sure he'd like to get an idea of what it's like to return one of those, too.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, again, I'm just going to be really interested to see how it all plays out. Because the next step is, are they going to try and do punts differently?
Yeah, I mean, well, how can you?
Because punt returns are more dangerous than kick returns, I think, aren't they?
Yeah, but I don't think they need to be tweaked. They're talking about just, if you do that, now you're really getting a little radical.
Yeah.
We've seen more radical stuff, I mean, by NFL standards of late, you know, so... And I do think moving the extra point back to where it's now dangerous for a lot of kickers, you can miss those extra points. Or because of penalty, you can take the option to move the ball down to the one-yard line and go for it from there for a two-point conversion.
Well, here you go. Just for you, Bob.
Do you see Pony's tweet?
We have some breaking news, from Pony.
Which is?
The Steelers are working hard on a trade for Brandon Ayuk. A deal could get done soon. 49ers seem motivated now to get something done. What do you think about that? First of all, Brandon Ayuk, I'm not doubting Pony. He's got good sources, and he's usually really good about things. Yeah, but. Do you see the Steelers spending $30 million on a receiver?
I really don't, knowing that Pickens one day will command maybe more, depending on how he, you know. But also, we've heard this name for how many months now? I mean, this is, and I know the situation has changed a bit, because now he seems to be pushing forward, and the 49ers, you know, may not want to be pushed in that direction. So there could be an option. You know, but I got to believe there are other teams involved in this, too. It can't be just the Steelers. So
well, they said the Browns.
That may change the asking price. But it could be good. I mean, I don't know. We've heard the name for a long, long time.
Yeah. I mean, they said the Browns are in on it. The Patriots, maybe?
Well, they need help. Looks like, New England is a long way from where they need to be, I think. I don't know if 1 year of Brandon Ayuk, or if they plan to, you know, we'll see.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know.
I mean, it certainly would help their offense a lot. And I'm not even worried about what the cost would be in terms of draft picks and or players. What I am concerned about, if I'm them, is the money involved. Although the cap keeps going up year after year, and there are ways to get out of it. This may impact a lot what goes on with, Cam Hayward's deal. Or, you know, you got to worry about other guys who are, Freiermuth is in a position where he could get more money. And there are going to be some guys on defense, younger guys, who if they move up could be getting, you know. There are a lot of things. Omar Khan is good at that. He understands how that all works. So maybe there's a way for him to fit it in. I wouldn't doubt it. But I also know that we've been talking about the same guy here for a long time. And there are other receivers out there who are in maybe lesser degree than Ayuk.
Right.
You know, so we'll see.
I mean, that's really, I don't know. I just have, you know, I often wonder where, if the Steelers are legitimately going to, you know, be involved here, or if we're just talking about, you know, whatever, if we're just talking about more of the same kind of fiction, you know what I'm saying, that happens. That's all I would tell you.
Listen, if he somehow is on this roster and this roster doesn't lose players from its roster, that's a massive upgrade to an offense that needs help there. But, again, there's a lot that has to happen before it ever gets to that. But I wouldn't be surprised. I think one thing about Omar and Andy Weidel, they're willing to do things that maybe they weren't so willing to do in the past.
Yeah. No, absolutely. I mean, I think you're right. So we'll see. But and they have talked about doing different things for sure. But again, I don't want. There are people who think I would like be doubting Pony or whatever. I don't doubt that he's got sources and everything else. What I doubt is, are the Steelers really going to do this?
Right. I wouldn't doubt at all. And I think Pony's on that they've been trying. I think they've had conversations. In fact, I know they've had conversations, but so have a lot of teams. Conversations sometimes work, sometimes don't work. In the end, if San Francisco is convinced that he's not going to play or make this an issue that they don't want to deal with, then they will probably move him.
Right.
But they're not just going to give him up for nothing, I can tell you that, and it's going to take some money to satisfy his needs, what he wants, what he believes he is worth. The question you'd have to ask, is he worth that? Is he that elite upper-tier kind of guy? I think he's a very good receiver. Is he Jefferson? I don't know. Is he C.D. Lamb? I like C.D. Lamb. I don't think he has a contract down there either. There could be some of that playing out in Dallas. There are a lot of things going on right now, so still early. It'd be interesting to see if it does happen, though.
Yeah, it would be very interesting to see I just think that it's always going to be more fun to talk about than something that might actually happen.
Right. Well, there's always speculation. And on social media, speculation often catches a lot of fire. People like talking about it.
Right. That's the thing. I just don't see them spending $30 million on a receiver. I'd have to see that to believe it. I don't know why, but I don't know that. What did they? They balked at paying Deontay Johnson $20 million. Remember, they gave him like what, 18 or 17 or something?
Something like that, right.
I mean.
Well, again, Pickens is going to be entering a stage where they're going to, if he's good as he thinks he's going to be or they think he's going to be, you know, you're going to have a couple of guys then. He'll be very mindfully watching what goes on in this situation if it does come to pass. What does Brandon Ayuk make? And am I better? If my numbers are better, how much am I worth? So, which is fine. You can have two. The Philadelphia Eagles pay for two. There are a lot of teams that can pay for two if you're willing to do it, but you have to make, some cuts in other areas.
Yeah. That's the thing. I think if you are going to do it, it is important that you make sure you understand that you're going to have to pay a quarterback soon. You're going to have to pay Pickens soon. Won't be that long down the road. You'll have to pay Joey Porter probably soon.
Right.
You know, another year or two or whatever.
Broderick Jones, left tackle, yes, if he's as good as you think.
That's
you're
what I mean.
Pay
you've
that guy
you've
a
got a lot
too.
Of a lot of guys that you're going to have to pay the piper for here soon. So we'll see it, but I just don't know, man. I have to see that. The other part of it is, what is it going to take to get him?
I don't even think that's a problem.
What's the package that you would give up?
I don't think it has to be as big or deep as you think. I think if they're in a position, don't you, that if San Francisco is getting tired of the whole thing, unless there are a bunch of three teams who want him and are willing to engage you in that, the price might go up that way.
Yeah.
But
I mean, really. First, would you give two first-round picks for Ayuk?
No, it won't take that much.
A first and a second?
It won't take that much.
A first?
It might take that.
So you say, okay, we're going to give up next year's first-round pick for Ayuk. You would do that?
I didn't say I'd do it.
I'd say it's reasonable. Would you do it?
Well, I think they have a need there. I do. But I was hoping that Roman Wilson would be a guy who can somehow help in that regard. Now he's injured, and we don't know exactly that.
Would you do that, City Limits? A first for Ayuk?
I would say it would take a second and a fourth. That's what I would imagine this
what's
would look
the,
like.
What's the package you'd be willing to give up for Ayuk? How about that? Let's answer. So you say a second and a fourth.
I would rather do a second, and I'd be okay if it's a second and fourth as well, or a second and some type of depth piece.
I think second is more.
If you're going to sign him to a $30 million deal.
That's why I don't want to give up a first.
I mean.
That's just too much.
I give up a first. I would give up a first or your deal, a second and a fourth. I would not give up anything more than a first. I wouldn't give it like a first and a third or a first. I would not do that.
I don't think it'll cost that much.
I don't either.
I think the market for this is going to be a little somewhat squelched and diminished because he's put himself in that situation. And even though there could be a couple of teams, I don't think it's going to require a first round pick. I could be wrong. I'd say second and fourth. And if that was the case, I might do it.
I'd do it for a second. First, it's just a very hefty price when you already have to pay him $30 million. Plus, you're probably going to pay Cam Hayward next year. Plus, what happens at quarterback? Who are you going to have to pay
that's
there?
That's the other thing. If Russell Wilson has a really good year, and that's, we haven't talked about that, but left tackle eventually is going to, if he's as good as you want him to be, it's going to cost you a lot of money. That's a premium position. Then you have a quarterback. At this point, you're paying nobody. And paying a combined $5 million for these two?
That will not be the case next year.
No, if one of them has a breakout year, all of a sudden that number is going to jump substantially, especially if it's Russell Wilson. Even though he's going to be 37, I think he's going to want, he's not going to want to look too much, you know.
He's going to want $40 million.
What did Kirk Cousins get? And how old is he compared to Russell Wilson?
Kirk Cousins is 35.
All right, they're similar, right? And yet he got $40 million a year, or was it in that range?
Well,
Atlanta.
I mean, that's the problem with the quarterback position is the going rate, even for just a decent one, is $40 million.
4 year, $180 million deal for Cousins.
Okay. Well, you, if so
that's
Russell Wilson
what?
Has a 40, good year.
That's $44 million? Is that what that is?
They just gave Tua 50. He's who, that's No,
wait,
he's no longer that.
180, Brock no, Purdy. That's $45
How much
million?
Did Brock Purdy just get?
I don't think Brock Purdy got a contract.
He hasn't got yet.
But he's in the 350 range.
Who?
Brock Purdy. People are talking about numbers that could get to that point.
If they don't have to pay Brock Purdy for another
I know that,
years.
But eventually they will. And that's part of their process probably. But who's I'll the highest say, pay, who's the highest paid guy? Is it Tua? Right? Every day there was a new
Tua
one.
Tua got like $54 million, right?
Would you pay that to him?
No way.
I would not.
I wouldn't have either. But they're kind of boxed in. And the Steelers could find themselves in that situation.
So Purdy was a second year guy last year, right?
Well, because
was
he was a seventh-round
no,
pick.
And he's a second-round pick. Yeah.
Was he a rookie
pick.
Last year?
Seventh-round pick.
Was he a rookie last year? No, he was in his second year. Okay, so...
He's two more years left.
So he's got two more years left. He signed for $3.7 million for 4 years.
Jordan Love, Trevor Lawrence, Joe Burrow, all making an average annual salary of $55 million.
That's right. Jordan Love got paid. Here's what I'm saying, though, Bob. This is what the quarterback market has done now.
Right.
If you're just a good quarterback, you're in the $40 to $50 million range. I mean, Daniel Jones makes what, $45 million, I think, or something, $44 million, right? You're in the $40 to $50 million range. If you're a guy that they have deemed, you know, well, we need it. Let's go into fantasy land for a minute, okay? Just for the heck of it, Justin Fields plays this entire year, throws for 3,000 plus. You know, 28 plus touchdowns, less, you know, 10 interceptions, and the Steelers win a playoff game and get to the, you know, the AFC championship game or even, you know, whatever. Guess what? The price for Justin Fields is now probably going to be close to $50 million a year.
And guess what? Because no option was picked up, he can go wherever he wants.
That's the point.
That's why I'd sign him to a deal for next season already right now and give him $15 million next year.
But he'd be dumb to sign it.
Especially if he thinks he's going to play.
Especially now that he thinks, you're right,
he's
exactly, Bob. They didn't mean to cut you off, but especially now that he thinks he might be the starter, you know? I mean, I
think it's very intriguing. All of this, to me, makes it less likely that they would be willing to go this route, but you never know. They know that they need help over there. And all due respect to guys, we were talking about Quez Watkins, Van Jefferson, and those guys. I don't know how big they can be in this offense. It would be nice to see somebody jump out and become that person. But if they feel that's a lacking thing and they feel they have an opportunity to do something right now this year, then they could make that trade.
So I'm just like, I don't worry about Cam Hayward's contract so much because he's making, what is he making, like $18
million? 16, I think.
16, so I mean... I can't imagine they'll go much more than like 18 for him. So it's not going to add that much to their... But the contracts that you got to worry about are Broderick Jones, who, you know, could go from whatever he's making, you know, on his rookie deal, in 2 years, he could go to $20 million plus. You go to...
And I'm going to throw this out also, just not to interrupt, but I did. I'm sorry. TJ Watt, how many years does he have left on the deal? He signed back in 2011. 2021, I mean. He has, I think, 2 years left. Not that, you know, you could look, he's going to be 30. But if TJ Watt is only three or four sacks away from 100, he's moving into air. He may want to play for a lot longer. His brother played till 33. So let's say it's 5 years he wants to play. He only has, I think, 2 years remaining. And if you want to keep him around, it won't cost you probably as much, but it might cost you a lot more than you think also.
I would be shocked if they actually, he's an undrafted free agent after next season. I mean, he's an undrafted. He's an unrestricted free agent after next season.
So that, well, 2 years. That's what I said. This and next.
Next.
So week. You think it, you're talking about Watt?
Yeah.
So if Watt has a big year this year and he has 1 year left,
I would let him walk.
Okay.
After next
but I'm
year.
Saying that's a decision that will also cost money one way or the other, I think.
Yeah, you're right. I'm just saying, if you look at the contracts they have, quarterback, they're getting away with. How much are they paying? Do you know how much they're paying Fields?
Like $4.5 million
yeah,
or something
about
like that.
Yeah, about $5 million, not much.
And they're paying Wilson one.
The base.
And they're paying this Kyle Allen what?
Nothing.
Million.
Okay. So they're paying for their quarterback position $7 million. George Pickens can't be making much more than what, $1 million, $1.5 million or something as a second round pick on a rookie deal? He can't be making that much. They signed Van Jefferson, Kez Watkins, and you know, Calvin Austin and that whole crew of the five guys named Mo. I mean, how much are they paying for their receiver position? Hardly anything.
But that can change.
You look at both of their tackle spots. What are they paying for that? Hardly anything.
For now.
What I mean is, these are all positions that right now they're getting away with, you know, hardly anything. Anyway, we'll continue. It's 93.7 Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Hey, fantasy football owners. The road to winning your fantasy football championship starts now. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that's going to make or break your fantasy roster. Wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that matter, giving you the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, Bob, with the Steelers playing on Friday, I think it makes it even that much more important that the Pirates do well against the Padres over the next 3 days.
No doubt. Although they go out to L.A. over the weekend, right? So that game would be a later start game. So we go on the air on KDK TV at 7. So we'll see how that goes. But you're right, though. If they lose, no, I don't think they'll lose 3 to the Padres. But the Padres are playing pretty good baseball right now, and they lead the Pirates by, what is it, 4.5 games?
Yeah.
So it's incumbent upon the Pirates to play 6 games against the Padres in the next 2 weeks, and they got to win 5 of the 6, I look at it.
Right.
If you're going to make up ground, you got to win big head-to-head.
I mean, I think that's the thing, though. If they cannot afford to lose for a couple of reasons, but one of them is right now – they are still probably the biggest story in town, right?
Yes.
So.
Just because they're still in it, despite all the, you know, emotional games they've had and heartbreaking losses.
So I just think that if they lose 3, then all of a sudden the Steelers play, and especially if the Steelers trade for Brandon Ayuk, And then Justin Fields plays really well on Friday night. I think it becomes very hard for the Pirates to recapture the audience. They've got a captive audience in this town right now.
They certainly do.
And so because they have a captive audience in this town, you know, it's going to be very, very interesting to see if they can keep it.
What are your early thoughts on Kiner Falefa and also De La Cruz? De La Cruz strikes me as another, he's similar to Jack Sawinski in that he is, he's capable of hitting long home runs. He's also capable of striking out four or five times.
Yeah, I got to see more from De La Cruz to really get a feel for him. You know what I mean?
Here's another thing, though. Starting next year, Andy Rodriguez is taking things at first base. We saw some of the videos the other day by some of the beat reporters. So what is that? Henry Davis is hitting the cover off the ball in AAA.
Right.
So at some point, he needs to get back here. They are not in a position to give up on him in any way. So when that happens, and do you foresee it this year? I do. What happens? Bart's playing well, deserves opportunities. Grandal will be gone at the end of this year. I'm sure of that, right? You're not going to bring him back. But what do you do?
Well, I think the biggest thing about Bart is he's proven to me he's your everyday catcher. Going forward, even.
Right.
And to me, you get Henry Davis or Andy Rodriguez, one of them's got to learn how to play first base.
What if
Henry Davis becomes the DH or something. One or the other. You know, maybe Henry Davis, you know, like, for instance, I mean, there's a lot of things that would have to happen.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of things would have to happen for Henry Davis to be an everyday player next year. But they're going to have to figure out a way to do it.
Yeah, he's still too young and heavily invested. They got to do something. And he's right. Hitting the ball. I think his OPS is over 1,000 down there in AAA. Now, does that mean he can come up here and play at the same level? No. But it does mean he's making strides. And it is. It's difficult. You go for. I remember Tyler Glasnow when he was on the mound in AAA. No matter how many times they sent him down, he was lights out. Comes up here and he struggled. It took him a while. So I think you don't want to give up on guys totally at this young age, 2 years, 3 years into his career. You got to wait on him, but you got to find a position to play him to.
Bob, thank you so much. We'll do it again next week.
All right, Paul Zeiss, and hopefully Joe's doing better.
Yeah, really.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners. Anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive in the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.